Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Every voice and sing, till it in heaven, ring with the harmony. Oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high.
Burning the
loud as the doors see.
Yeah.
ever stand true to our God and true to our native land.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Waterfall location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation today. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Louise Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
What's going on, everybody? What's happening out there? This is Sound Radio Network, and we are going to have a conversation on the Trayvon Martin case. If I sound kind of funny, it's because I'm back in the basement, right? We're trying a little studio set, but we ain't got that all worked out, and I wouldn't try and drop no more calls or get my edits all edited out. Now, if you hear some music in the background, there's a little party going on outside. Some man celebrating their, like, 85th birthday, and his grandkids are doing it in for him, his children. So, you hear some schoolboy crush or some beware, young brother, beware, pathway to glory. You know, that's what's going on over there. I got my man Brandon. I got Toby Miller in the building. But before I bring those gentlemen in, we're going to deal with Talk to Me Tuesday. And in Talk to Me Tuesday, we're going to discuss the legal system and how it relates to us and the Trayvon Martin situation here. So what we're going to do is, not Ebony, I'm not going to play Black Cop. What I'm going to do, Ebony, I'm going to see if I can pull up my man, J.T. Williams, because I feel we can set the precedent with this, because we want just the facts, and let's see if we can get another panel on. Let our people know how we're going to do it. And then, Ebony, please let me know how this is sounding, so I can try and get my headphones on. Ready? No, how would I play J.T. Williams, how he sounds, okay?
long as I could. I said I wasn't going to really speak about it anymore, but the Trayvon Martin case and the George Zimmerman case hasn't come to trial. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to get real, real ugly. We're not going to get the truth, and no sides are going to come to the conclusion. Because I said this a while back. What was going to happen with the whole Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman trial? Yeah, the Trayvon Martin back home will make him out to be a choir boy. They're going to say that he was some innocent little boy, like the pictures they showed of him. Not that he was smoking weed and getting expelled from school. That's the part on the Trayvon Martin side. And then the George Zimmerman crowd are going to make George Zimmerman out to be the Apostle Paul. He was just a loving father who was on night watch. And he has never gave anybody a crossword. He is an outstanding citizen. A couple of things we do know from the event. First of all, we know that Trayvon Martin is not a choir boy. Second thing we know is that George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin. Now, many say it was in self-defense that Trayvon Martin was just beating the hell out of George Zimmerman. Now, I don't claim that Trayvon Martin is some kind of saint because he's not. And all his backers are pretending that she is a saint. But at the same time, let's not pretend George Zimmerman is a saint also. We're never going to get to the bottom of the case. What we do know is that some kind of way George Zimmerman approached Trayvon Martin. Once he had approached Trayvon Martin, some of the witnesses, or some of the reports say, Trayvon Martin became the aggressor, and he started attacking George Zimmerman. That could very well be the case. Now, I don't know if you're a night watchman, you got a pistol, how you let a young punk run up on you. Because you're not running up on me if I got a pistol. I'm going to already be prepared if you look suspicious anyway. If you look suspicious, I'm going to be prepared in case you try something. So it would have never went that far. So now that you attack me, I'm drawing down on you right there. Back up. You better back up. Now, either George Zimmerman was naive when he approached Trayvon Martin, because he said himself he looked suspicious. I don't approach suspicious characters without looking with them on caution. Now, Trayvon Martin, once he was approached, I guess he went and changed still and decided he was going to start whooping up on George Zimmerman, as the report said. But the thing I really want to focus on, because I think both sides have had some fault when it comes to this whole case. Yes, you have the blacks and the Latinos who are going to make it all about race because they thought George Zimmerman was a white man. Hell, I thought he was a white man when I first saw him. But now they find out that he's not really white. But they're going to keep saying it because many want to go with the race card. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are already getting crunk up right now to start the race thing going. But see, this is what I don't like about the whole mentality when we talk about these race issues. People don't want to be intellectually honest. Yeah, I got a bunch of them pissed off about the whole Paula Deen video. Maybe he was going to tell me what I need to say about nigger or nigger, whatever you want to say. They say it's not the same. I stop arguing with liberals when they're not making no sense, and I stop arguing with so-called, quote, conservatives when they're not making any sense either. Because even saying that the same term, nigger and nigger, is the same because the rapper said, to me, it's almost laughable. They say you can't choose what word you say. Just like in the dictionary, you have there, T-H-E-I-R, and you have there, T-H-E-R-E. Two words sound just alike, different meanings. Bam, I rest my case. Back to the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. We're going to never get justice out of this trial, no matter what happens. If George Zimmerman gets away and he doesn't get charged with murder, all the blacks and Latinos in the race band is going to say it's because he was white that he did not get any time. If he gets some time, the conservatives, or others will say, is that there is no justice in the country. There was a gave in to the race business. What I hate to see is that, can we look at the facts? And if the facts said that Trayvon Martin attacked George Zimmerman, so be it. Trayvon Martin was in the wrong, and the reason he's not living right now is because he made the first initial attack and started beating the hell out of George Zimmerman. Now, if the facts show that George Zimmerman was the instigator, and he's the one who was the aggressor, let the facts fall where they may. What I find not often too many times, especially when you talk about race, that lets me know something that we ain't came as far as we think we have came. Because when you talk about race, people want to tiptoe around certain subjects. Or they want to be biased towards their particular bit. I have talked about black races and white races and Latino races. I have talked about how dumb blacks were in some senses. I talked about how dumb whites were in some senses. I talked about how dumb Latinos were in some senses. But then as soon as you make a video about certain things, one side is going to be upset because you don't agree with them fully, even though their arguments are really the facts. It's really not that conclusive. It's not a cut and dry situation. Some things are just cut and dry. It's just, damn, these are the facts, this is where it is. So what I would like to see, what I would like to see happen, is we look at the facts and true justice can't start up. But please, don't make Trayvon Martin have to be some fake who was just a kid going about doing the goodwill of the neighborhood. Don't act like he wasn't involved in the bad activities, smoking marijuana in the Abbey. You know, Abbey said that that's not a crime. Especially in some sense, it's not a crime. I don't think anybody should be killed for the fact that you look suspicious. You know, I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm trying to look at the facts. Did Trayvon Martin attack George Zimmerman first? If he did attack George Zimmerman, George Zimmerman had a right to defend himself. If the facts show that George Zimmerman was the aggressor and he pursued him just because he ran away, let's be intellectually honest with that also. But the problem is, many times is that people get so clouded when it got something to do with race that they're not trying to intellectualize the facts. I'm not going to just lie on somebody purposely just to make them look worse than they already look because there's enough evidence out there to make them look bad enough. I don't need to manufacture things, or I don't need to get my emotions so involved that I'm not evaluating the facts very accurately. Now, that's going to never happen in this case. For the simple reason is, I don't think most people want the facts. Because the Trayvon Martin side wants a pound of flesh. George Zimmerman is the KKK, is for, as most of the people on Trayvon Martin's side is saying. And on George Zimmerman's side, Trayvon Martin was nothing but a little friend who really kept busting in him because he was the aggressor. And you're not going to convince most of the either side to wade through the truth and look at the facts. That's the state of America now. And what we should be concerned about in America is that we have people in charge, like Barack Obama, like Nancy Pelosi, like Eric Holder, and who are violating, really violating our rights. But we're not concerned about those issues. We are concerned about death and get you a drilling those. So this is nothing but a drilling case. It just gets you all fired up on both sides. And you can hear when they talk, even when they type, and start capitalizing letters. Because they're upset one way or another. I will not engage myself in to trying to make excuses up for either side, nor would I pretend like either one is just absolute fake. The fact of the matter is, if we really look at the case close enough, you find out, first of all, Trayvon Martin is no saint. But at the same time, George Zimmerman is not a saint either. could very well be enjoying some of the approach trailer mind in a loving, nice way. Can I ask you what you're going to name her out in the night watch? He could have expressed it like that. But the 911 tape does not say the same conclusive evidence. There was some discrepancies in the story. But none of the stories make it out to be like some of the other folks were suggesting on the Trayvon Martin side. That Trayvon Martin was just minding his own business, just came from the store, and that Whitey attacked him. After Whitey attacked him, he defended himself by bashing Whitey's head up against the concrete, beating the hell out of him. That story doesn't make any sense to me either. So I always the facts, please. As they would say, nothing but the facts, please. Now, whether we will ever get them,
so, we are going to try to see if we can deal with the facts. Let me bring in my man, Brendan, and see if we can just deal with the facts right here. So, Brendan, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what's happening, man? What's going on?
There's all sorts of things happening. I guess, and one of them is this trial.
Fact, you know,
got everybody
not trying
captivated.
To get all emotional. What you say now? I didn't even...
Nothing, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. We're just trying to deal with just the facts, you know. And a lot of things be getting all emotional. A lot of people have been watching the court case. A lot of people just, I mean, seeing what was happening. But what's your take on what's been going on right now?
My take is there's no doubt that from a moral perspective, George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin. There's no doubt that from a factual perspective, he killed him. The issue is
right.
What type of murder is it legally? And
okay.
I think that my concern is that the prosecutors may have overreached a little bit, one, and two, that the prosecutors, based on institutional racism, they haven't shown the complete ability to prosecute this case the way they are paid to. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does, but there's a train of thought out there that the prosecutors felt that they didn't have enough evidence to go to trial in the first place, and that they are putting on this show to prove to the world that they had no case, and that's why they didn't charge Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman. What do you think?
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's that calculated. I do think that there's things that they haven't done that they should have done. That's just more of a product of their institutional racism. I mean, the perfect example is Rachel Jantel. They simply did not take the time from all outside appearances to properly prepare her for her testimony. And that's something, frankly, you see a lot. And so I don't think it's as much as a calculated conspiracy. I think that they just haven't done things that they should be doing.
Okay. Well, let me bring another call in. Let me bring Toby Miller from Indianapolis, and let me see what he feels about what's going on. What's going on, Brother Toby Miller? How you feel?
What's up, beloved? It's good to hear your voice.
All right. What's your take on what's been going on so far with this bill case?
Well, my take is that I agree with the previous caller that, you know, the issues associated with the way the prosecutors prepared the initial witness probably raised some questions. I think it's going to be difficult to actually convict So I based on the evidence that actually exists or not that we know about, and I think the type of murder that they're actually charging him with, I think it's difficult. It's going to be difficult. While it's not premeditated, the suggestion of second-degree murder is that there was an intent. And I think that there can be enough doubt raised about his intent, even though he was pursuing Trayvon to a certain extent, that he initiated some of that. I think you have to actually prove that there was a degree of intent to murder. And I think that's going to be difficult. That burden of proof, I think, is going to be difficult to pan out. If it was manslaughter, it might be different. But I think it's going to be difficult to prosecute, have a successful prosecution based on the charges. And I think the prosecution should know that. They should know that.
Well, we dropped Brandon. If you're out there, Brandon, call back. I want your professional opinion. Let me bring my arms to Rand. She is a Rand's what she said. I'm public defender. Let me see what she has to say. Bring her in for a second. Yes, Sharon, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What is your take on this trial that's been going on so far?
So far, I find it very interesting. Several things that had concerned me was the draw of the jury members as well. As you know, there are six women that have been selected as jurors, and of those six, five of them are white women, and one is either black or Hispanic. Having looked over the actual reasons for the strikes, various strikes between the jury members themselves, I did take a special note that attorney Mark O'Meara struck a black woman juror on the basis, the only black woman juror, on the basis that she did not reveal that her pastor strongly advocated for Trayvon Martin. However, when the state actually tried to use strike on two white juror members on the basis that one stated that she could not or did not feel comfortable actually sending someone to jail when her husband herself had ownership of a gun, and the other questioned why Trayvon Martin was even out late that night. So those are two concerns. That gives you a kind of, it gives me a kind of perspective as to what the jurors may be thinking, because those two women jurors are on the actual jury themselves. And the fact that they would even question why this young black man is out at night and not question why George Zimmerman was out at night following, this raises some kinds of concerns. But I do agree with the previous caller, Toby Miller, who stated that it's not likely that they will come back with conviction on the murder 2 count. I think it's more likely, if they do prevail the conviction, that it'll be in the lesser included offense of manslaughter. And right now, the way I feel about how things are going, I'm more thinking that it would be a gift at this point if those jury members actually did convict Mr. Zimmerman on the lesser included of manslaughter.
Well, I don't feel that way. I feel that there will be a conviction of Mr. Zimmerman, because the facts are cut and dry. What I mean by cut and dry, no matter what the police officers say and how they might have changed their direction of their statement, I feel that once the police officer told him to stand down, whether it was not a direct order or not. The police was aware that there was a man pursuing another gentleman, and he shot that gentleman. No matter what occurred during the when a man approached Trayvon, when a man approached Trayvon, or if Trayvon was whooping him and stuff on his spots, because there's no marks on his hands or what have you. the point I'm coming at is that I personally feel that the Trayvon Martin case is strictly subterfuge to divert all America attention on a lot of things. I played a sample of a gentleman earlier because the world is divided, America is divided, almost like they were on OJ. If Trayvon Martin gets off, America feels that people are going to riot in the streets. If Zimmerman gets arrested, certain sections of America will feel that it's because we have a black president. It's a no-win situation. But I feel because of the fact that the police officer who was aware of the case and informed the gentleman, it's like somebody calling, man, I see somebody walking down the street about to rob somebody. Are you following? Yeah, don't do that. Then the guy gets shot. Man, do we tell you not to do that? And then we're going to try your manslaughter because we're going to go on those things. I feel that those women prosecutors will be clear-cut enough to see that because this is America now, and I don't think America wants to go to a place that they're petting on. I think this trial is emotionally attacking African Americans to get them riled up because the Voting Rights Act got struck down and no one is screaming about that, but we all about Trayvon Martin. We're going to do a Trayvon Martin right now. We're going to do a Trayvon Martin right now. But I feel that those women jurors will come back with a verdict of guilty. I'm one of the minority people who believe that Miami was going to win in the end. I don't believe San Antonio is going to come back and just overtake the case. And I see George Zimmerman as San Antonio. I mean, it's good for the drama. It's good to sell TV. It's good to sell soap. It's good to keep the news media chasing this story then. Let's say my man Snowden. Or let's say Obama's trip over there to Africa. Or let's say the job numbers. I mean, these things right here, because the world is watching. Like I played earlier, we're not getting the facts. We're getting a town where the prosecutor told America that we don't think we can try him. Then America said, you better try him. So here's this county, someone that knows at America stating that, see, we told you in the first place, given the way the witnesses are testifying. Yes, they're testifying against Zimmerman, but they're also assisting Zimmerman. No one is mentioning that Zimmerman's father or relative or grandfather was a judge, a high-ranking judge in that county. And some of these people he might have appointed, some of these people he might have given jobs to. Maybe they might not want to give his son such a hard sentence. Anyone? Anyone? Jump in. Toby, Saran, we still lost Brendan. Anyone?
Well, this is Toby. I think all those variables may be present.
Maybe.
But if we were being asked to discern the elements of this case based on the facts that are at least presented and get a conviction, that's what I'm saying. The jury may engage in all kinds of nullification behavior based on external forces, but I raise my concern around whether or not we can earn or there'll be a conviction simply because of the nature of the charges that are being posed and the what I anticipate to be the kind of jury instructions that could come out, and you have to therefore prove that there was a degree of malice or intent to kill. And I think that's going to be a very difficult burden to prove.
I would also have to agree with that sentiment. I do agree with you that he should be convicted because Zimmerman's story is inconsistent all over the place and the facts do not line up. But do I think that those six women will feel the same way, knowing that the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt, which, as Toby said, is a high burden? All Mr. O'Mara, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, needs is to plant the seed of doubt in one juror, just one, because they need a unanimous verdict in order to get a conviction. If he's successful in planting the seed of doubt in one, they will not convict him.
So let me just make this clear, Black America. So are we in agreement that the case is over and there's no case here? Is that what? There's no case here?
Not saying that there's a case. There's not a case here. I personally believe he should be convicted. Myself, just looking at the evidence that I've presented so far, because the facts don't follow through with his testimony. But the burden is so high as proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And Mr. O'Mara has planted seeds of doubt with some of the witnesses as to Trayvon's, the account of the events that happened. For instance, he did have one police officer, I'm understanding, stating that he believes what Zimmerman's account was.
What I'm trying to say is, hello, Jimmy. Now, what I'm trying to say is that Trayvon Martin, if they come out and find Trayvon Martin innocent of, if they find George Zimmerman guilty, innocent of the death of Trayvon Martin, you think America is prepared for the aftermath? Because it seems to me, from all the Black people that I've talked to, they have came into an agreement that it's over. It's over. White America is going to let the man walk. Everybody know the man shot the man. The man is not here. He is dead. George Zimmerman shot the guy. The cops told the man to not pursue the guy. And then with the police telling an individual to not pursue a guy, even though it was not a directive order, and he went on ahead and did that and shot a guy, I would think the police officer would just try to show that they do have some type of an authority, and I felt that the justice system would try to project police officers with some sense of authority. And I was hoping that maybe those six women on the jury were women that probably respect authority. And maybe given the fact that George Zimmerman disrespected authority and shot someone, might be the catalyst of a conviction. What y'all think?
I agree with you. I don't think America is ready for an acquittal. However, I think it is notable, and Saran's probably going to whoop me, and perhaps Ebony will whoop me too, for almost sounding a degree of chauvinism here when I say that all the defense attorney needs to do is plant this seed. If a Black young thug came at you in any kind of way that you would perceive as hostile, would you believe that you might be in danger? And if those women can say, you know what, if I was Zimmerman, I would feel the same way, and therefore they may not say he had the intent to kill Trayvon, but he had a degree for self-defense purposes to do so. I think that seed of doubt is pregnant in this whole situation, Jimmy. And while all the other external variables are at play and real. I believe when we get down to when that jury gets its instructions, and they are to say without reasonable doubt, did George Zimmerman seek out Trayvon to kill him? And I think that reasonable doubt standard is going to cause at least one of those women to say, if I was George Zimmerman, I would feel the same way, and therefore I can't say that he had that intent and he'll get acquitted. America may not be ready for it, but I believe the prosecutors made a mistake. Even though I can understand that there is a presumption of intent because he followed him and he did disregard the police officers, I think the prosecutors made a mistake in charging him with manslaughter. I mean, charging him with second-degree murder. I think the more plausible charge would have been manslaughter. But I'm not an attorney. But that's my presumption and my thoughts on that.
I think that manslaughter is a lesser-included offense. So if they do not convict him of murder two, then the jurors would, in my opinion, have the option of convicting him on the lesser included offense, which would be manslaughter. So there is a chance, and I think it's more likely if there is a conviction in this case, which I certainly hope that there is, given the fact, that it would likely be a manslaughter versus a murder two charge.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, to go to your point, Toby, I don't think you're totally out there in your assessment, chauvinistic maybe, but you got to look at the mindset of the juror. Now, the jurors need to put themselves, which most jurors will do, regardless whether they tell you or not, if they can place themselves in the shoes of the victim itself. Now, think about who these jurors are. Do they identify, or can they identify, with a young black male?
That's right.
Versus if it were a young white male. And regardless of how we want to play, and race does play a terrible part in people's minds. Because maybe if you, a young white 17-year-old male, totally different than they would with a young black male in a hoodie walking in an area late at night, a residential area late at night.
That's right. Well, not trying to go GOP and trying to sound like a Tom or anything, but let's just skip the black, skip the white. Let's just deal with this. Do we feel that these women have no idea of the ramifications that their decisions might have on America? Do you think these women on the jury do not want to be perceived as being racist? Because no matter what if they rule in Zimmerman's favor or that to the lesser charge, then that will be put upon them. Do you think that they might be aware of that in their mind also, while they're deliberating? I mean, Saran, you're a defense attorney. You're a defender. When you're looking at a jury, do you think sometimes that might play in the hands of a jury?
It's hard to say because people get on juries for very various reasons. Now, here you have a high profile case. So there are some times where people will want to sit on a jury because they are seeking out, can they get a book deal? You know, or how can I make money off of this? Or just for various other reasons. But you just don't know, and you never know what is motivated by a jury member if there was some other path wrong that they want to really be on the jury. So it's hard to say, because I can go both ways.
What do you feel, Toby?
Well, I agree with Saran. You know, I think there are some significant challenges here with this particular jury. But I don't know their motivations. I can only presume. And again, my thinking is, just like in the Rodney King case, if that jury is given certain instructions, and they don't do jury nullification, meaning that they don't try to legislate American society through their bench participation, based on the instructions, they may have to find advance an acquittal, and that's a challenge. But that's one of my major concerns here. Now, it could be a benefit to having an all women jury. I struggle with it, and I also struggle with the concept of a jury that is predominantly white women. But that could be my own prejudice coming into play, where I prejudge them and believe that they're not going to see Trayvon as a human being, but instead see him in the stereotypical black male thug picture that I know the prosecutor is trying to advance. And quite honestly, I believe, and this is cynical, so Saran beat me here, but I believe that the prosecutor should have prepared the first witness better. Why is that? Because I believe she came across in her first responses as angry black woman and a little ghetto-fied. And if they can say he's guilty by his association, see what these people are like. And if those women see Trayvon as a thug because of her, I think that could be a very damaging situation. Although she came off relatively, especially the second day, credible, even though there were some holes that were punched on her, a credible witness.
Well, I'm not going to deal in the holes that are punched on her. I'm going to take Fargo. We're getting close to the top of the hour, and I'm going to play the ABC news clip we got. But do you think having Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, after the break, I'm going to bring it back up, do you think having Trayvon Martin's girlfriend on the stand damaged the case, not because of how she presented herself, but because of the image of Precious that has been portrayed about that size woman in the way that the white woman might look at an African-American woman? We're going to hold on to that. And let's go to this clip. And just hold on to that. We come back to that.
George Zimmerman, again, standing accused of killing 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, the lead investigator in the case, a key witness for both sides, taking the stand today for his second day of testimony. Now, and ABC's Matt Gutman is in Sanford, Florida with the very latest. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Josh. It was a pivotal day in court. That witness that you mentioned, Sereno, he was the lead investigator recommending manslaughter charges against George Zimmerman. But in court, he told the jury that he thought Zimmerman was being truthful. Now, jurors also spent hours listening to the audio and videotapes of the man whose fate they are about to decide.
It was George Zimmerman's day to testify.
And he just kept punching me.
Only he didn't even have to take the stand. Instead, the prosecution rolling out five versions of his story, a statement and interrogations at the police department, then this reenactment.
When he was hitting my head against it, it felt like my head was going to explode.
To the lead homicide investigator, Chris Sereno, seen here as he walks with Zimmerman through the recreation of that deadly encounter with Trayvon Martin, all of those versions remarkably consistent.
Either he was telling the truth, or he was a complete pathological liar.
Was there anything else in this case where you got the insight that he might be a pathological liar?
No.
A possible fatal blow to the prosecution.
The investigators have said, I think he was telling the truth. How do you overcome that? George Zimmerman just testified thanks to the state and now doesn't have to take the witness stand to be challenged.
And Zimmerman's claim of self-defense at times jarring, describing that fatal moment.
As he banged my head again, I just pulled out my firearm and shot him.
It's 25th witness Chris Serino, a star prosecution witness, appearing to shine for the defense.
You had fairly specific evidence that Mrs. Zimmerman was acting in self-defense that night, correct?
I had information that would have supported that, yes, sir.
Serino even admitting he buckled under the pressure to make an arrest.
You were also under quite a deal of pressure to get this case moved forward, correct?
Yes, I was.
But while it seemed to lose the round, the prosecution did score a few points.
Had you told this child that you were neighborhood watch, you were just wondering what the hell he was doing when he came up to your car, we probably wouldn't be here right now.
Now, we expect Serena to be back on the stand later this morning. The person who we expect not to see again is the person who likely knows exactly what happened that night. That's George Zimmerman. Analysts are telling us he's unlikely to do any better telling his story than those audio and videotapes that those jurors saw yesterday. Josh.
Matt Gutman, thank you for that. We want to turn now to ABC's chief legal affairs anchor, Dan Abrams, who is also in Sanford, Florida, obviously covering this trial. And Dan, I do want to ask you again about this star witness. It turns out for both sides, the prosecution had Zimmerman's various accounts played in court. And once again, a prosecution witness seems to have helped the defense. What did it do to the prosecution's case?
Well, the purpose of introducing all of these statements was to show inconsistencies, and there are some. For example, were there bushes there that Trayvon Martin could have come out of? Why did he mention the bushes one time and not another time? Exactly what did Trayvon Martin say at the time? But when you look at the big picture, the statements are strikingly consistent about what happened that night. And you see that Mark O'Mara keeps bringing up one interesting point, and that is that George Zimmerman would not have known that the video surveillance system in the community wasn't working. Why is that important? Well, of course, if it had been working, it would have been able to either support or disprove exactly what Zimmerman was saying that night and the day after.
Dan, I want to ask you about Chris Serino again, the lead investigator, testified yesterday, back on the stand today. Could he still help the prosecution's case?
Well, this is now the cross-examination of Serino, so it's hard to figure out exactly how he's suddenly going to change and help the prosecution's case. I mean, look, parts of what he say are helpful. The problem is that when you look at the big picture and you look at him in conjunction with the other witnesses who've testified, he does seem to help the defense more than he does the prosecution.
All right, we're going to start with you, Toby. You know, that's a little break of what happened today. Hold on, Saran. I got Dana from D.C. in the building. What's Saran calling from Ebony? Chicago. And we got Toby Miller from Indianapolis. Anyway, Toby, that was happened today, but I left us hanging with an image of Precious and the girlfriend of Trayvon Martin testifying. Do you think that might have any damaging effect to the all-white women jury because maybe of their perception of black women, or maybe because how she perceived herself, they might perceive another perception that they may have of black women that might went to the prosecution benefits. Do you feel where I'm coming from over here? Go ahead, do you feel where I'm coming from?
No, yeah, I believe that. I was thinking, I was trying to make that point earlier. You're probably much more artful than I, but I believe that just the stereotypes, prejudice, works against Trayvon and for the prosecution here, because again, if they can paint him even through his star witness, his lady friend, if they can paint him and or his associates as thugs, as less than, quote, model citizens, swarthy in the way that they approach life and therefore putting other people who are, quote, wholesome and good at risk, and portray Zimmerman as somehow a tragic hero, a white man, quote, Latino man, fighting against the evils of the dregs of society, I believe they'll get an acquittal. And again, based on what you hear, even in the tape that you just rolled, the prosecution now doesn't even have to put him on the stand because they have comments that affirm consistent testimony, affirm that he at least told the truth. My God, That's enough to put in a mind of a juror reasonable doubt. Even if they had video, if he thought he was at risk or threatened by this situation, it's enough to inspire that.
Yeah. Before we deal with that, I'm going to bring Saran in before I bring you in, Dana. But listen, where I last left everybody off with, hold on for a second, Toby. I'll hear Saran version. Let me hear my girl DC Dana version. What I left off with was, because the image of Trayvon Martin's associate play against him or play in their favor, play against them by being the image of Precious, the black girl, kind of large, and that's what Hollywood sold you, or play the image of Precious, that black girl they sold on Hollywood, and poor little girl, I feel so sorry for you, and could that help Trayvon Martin, or that's you getting, little fat little girl, can't read cursive. Yeah, I'm slamming down on you. Saran, you're in a long game. What do you think?
I honestly don't think that her testimony in the whole grand scheme of the trial hurt the image of Trayvon Martin in and of itself. Given that these jury members are white women, we don't know what that physical makeup of these jury members are. Because of the gag or the seal on the jury members themselves, we don't know their socioeconomic background or anything about them or even their profession. So given her image, the way she looks, as a larger woman, I don't think that necessarily plays negatively in the whole grand scheme of the trial itself.
I was not on. I was not going on her size when I said Precious. I was going on her lack of knowledge. And, size might have played into it, and the color might have played into it, but, the bottom line of pressure was, black is beautiful, and sometimes fat black is beautiful. Sometimes, listen, there's a lot of, for the record, there's a lot of people that like big, fat black women, and there's a lot of big, fat black women that are intelligent. But I was going on the lack of intelligence side, not per se that she was large, but the perception of Precious is that big black woman who cannot read. And that's where I was going. Before you ask this, let me bring in somebody from D.C. This is Dana. What's going on, Dana? Can you all comment on that?
Jimmy, I got to tell you, this trial is the most asinine mockery of justice I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'll tell you why. Zimmerman was able to become a stalker, play judge, jury, and executioner, and kill this teenage boy. And now he's got all these people up here sitting up telling why he was justified in his actions when the fact is he wasn't. He was not representing the law. He was not arresting him. The police told him to stay where he was, and he didn't do it. And as a result, Trayvon got killed. So there is no justification in that. He hunted that boy down and he killed him like he was an animal. And anybody that's sitting up there testifying in his defense is, to me, is assisting in this miscarriage of justice for this boy's family. That's
and
how I feel
Jimmy,
about it.
Well, Jimmy, and I would agree with this. I just struggle with sometimes the way that our legal system is designed and the way that they're going about the prosecution and the level and nature of charges that have been leveled, it may be difficult to earn a rightful and what I believe would be a just conviction.
Absolutely. And the trial, to me, is smoke and mirrors. It's a way to say, okay, America, he went out there, he did the right thing, and he killed this boy. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and they're going to believe it was justified.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They bring in these people
mean,
here. The one young
no,
lady,
go ahead,
you know,
go ahead,
made fun of her. And made fun of it. You know, they just look at the level of the people that they're sitting on the stand. You know, how should bring the policeman on there. The one that told them, I don't follow. And then the policeman can say, I do it. Okay?
Well, I don't know. We've got to stop there. But what I'm saying is that I do feel that it is smoke and mirrors. Hey.
Hello?
Hold on.
Yeah, I think we lost
Ben. Okay, we lost Ben. Okay, right. That's how you do you in D.C. Hey, get Saran back out there. Get Saran. Hey, it was Saran. It was Dana. Put Saran back in the red room. Saran, you can jump in any time. You know, your mic was live at any time. I try to have a live mic during the last little 40 minutes of the show. Call back Dana and stuff like that. The point I was saying is, yes, it is smoke and mirrors. And do you all feel that Eric Holder should appoint another prosecutor to handle the case because maybe by Zimmerman's father being a judge or high ranking judge in that county that it might pose some conflict of interest?
I don't.
Anybody, yeah, jump ball, anybody.
For more options.
Jump ball, anybody, jump ball.
Eric Holder appointing another prosecutor would make that much of a difference. I know that they have already appointed another prosecutor since the beginning of this case. Given Zimmerman's familial status, I don't know that that's going to sway the pool of the jury. You know, it is in Seminole County. Seminole County, you know, only has a 10% of African American population there, and the majority of that population is white. You have even Mark O'Meara, the defense attorney. He, from my understanding is, he is the president of the Seminole County Bar Association. So you have two very well-known individuals throughout that community that are affiliated with the case itself. So by bringing in someone else outside of the community, I don't know that that would have a vast difference on the facts and how they play out with the members of the jury.
We have, let me give a shout out for hold on for a second, Toby, to that Flycatch, I don't know if you caught him from, but he's in the chat room. Flycatch got two comments. Y'all can chime in on them. The first comment is, if the jury goes by the law instead of politics, Zimmerman will be set free. Then he goes on to say, or she, the star witness for the prosecution almost perjured herself with her testimony. Now, I didn't see the testimony that the prosecution witness almost perjured herself on. And it's like there's a dead body here. You see, and for you flycatchers listening, you know, I'm trying to play the fence, deal with the facts. But I want my listeners to know there is a dead body here. There was somebody following somebody, and somebody did pull the trigger. Now, I'm with Stand Your Ground. I'm with the Second Amendment. I'm with defending yourself. But when you engage someone, then let the facts go out. Now, Flycatch, if the jury goes by the law, if he found guilty, they'll set him free. Then, hey, the law is the law. But let's not be mistaken. The police said, don't follow this man.
and the man who the police said don't follow end up shooting a man. The man who shot the man said the man he was following turned around and jumped him. The police can easily look at that and say, you instigated. But we have not yet dealt with the facts. And that's where we all fly catch. I hope you're still listening, log in. But y'all go ahead on from that point. I'm sorry, because y'all, I just want to let everybody know. I'm just want to deal with the facts. I'm trying to deal with the facts. I'm not trying to go emotional. I'm not trying to go with black or white. I'm not trying to see if there will be riots in the street like OJ or Rodney King or, you know, or will America just be torn apart if Zimmerman goes to jail, and it might be that because we have a black president that it had to go down. I just want to deal with the facts at hand and how the facts that I see them, not how they are presented, and how this being a high-profile case, how this being a high-profile case, I feel that it's almost referee point shaving. It's like taking the heat to seven. You know, Zimmerman should do time for this. And I see time, whether it's Jesse Jackson time, which is 4 years or 12 years, a life was lost, and I feel that he should and will do time. Mr. Flycatch or Dana, you back live, Dana. What were you saying before you got cut off?
I feel like the trial is just a way to say, all right, America, we checked the box. He was found not guilty. Because if you look at the way that they're depicting him in the trial, you know, they're depicting him as a thug that was performing martial arts and just kicking Zimmerman's butt, and he happened to make a mistake and shoot him with a gun that he brought with him from his house as he hunted this boy down. You see, so they are making all of the excuses as they lay out the trial, if you really pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, I think that this is just a way to pretend like, you know, he went to a jury of his peers. The judicial system still stands untainted, and we did what we were supposed to do, and if he was found not guilty, he was just found not guilty. When the fact of the matter is, as this man killed this teenage boy without cause, he hunted him down, he stalked him, and he killed him. And there is no excuse for that. And there was no bag of Skittles or drink that was big enough or dangerous enough for him to justify his actions. So he should do time. But he should be convicted. I mean, he should be charged with murder one. He should be charged with the first-degree murder, not the second-degree stuff that causes you to have to prove something that makes it harder to prove. But that's my opinion, of course.
Well, Jimmy, this is Toby. Dana, I actually disagree. I believe that he should be convicted.
I believe he should be convicted,
I think if we go murder one, though, it would mean that he premeditated, meaning he knew Trayvon and he laid in wait and planned to kill Trayvon, specifically Trayvon, not just some random kid. And that burden of proof would be so impossible in this case because he didn't know Trayvon. That's why I would say it would be
difficult based on
the system. It might be even more difficult to secure a murder one conviction.
I think the intent is proven based on the fact that he took that he got out of his car and he had a gun with him when he got out of his car. Now, I don't carry a gun, but to me, most people that bring guns with them and they hunt something down and then they kill it, that's intention.
That to me shows intention.
So y'all go ahead on. So, I mean, the mic's loud. You like your mic? You jump in anytime you want to, Saran. And fly catch number 38. Hold on for a second, Dana. And fly catch number 347-838-9825. Feel free to jump in. Come on in, Saran. You can. I mean, everybody. You know, I'm trying to get everybody in it right now. Got it.
Toby, he didn't pick up a stick after he hunted this boy down and then hit him in the head with it, and then he passed out and died as a result of the injury from a stick. That's not what happened. When you bring a gun with you to anything, then that shows premeditation, especially when you are bringing a gun and stalking a human being that has no weapon, that can't defend themselves. So the fact that he had that weapon that can cause serious bodily harm, and in Trayvon's case, grave bodily harm, that, in my opinion, shows that he intended to do some damage when he was on his way.
Well, I don't know that it actually proves that, because my understanding that Florida is a conceal and carry state, and that he was licensed to carry a gun. That would be a barrier for the prosecution to overcome. And given those facts, they would be able to carry a gun.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said he was licensed to carry a gun, but he wasn't licensed, but the granting of the privileges of carrying a gun does not justify him using that gun in a means to take another person's life.
No argument from me there. I'm just, as far as legal standards go, I don't think the prosecution would have trouble using that line of using those facts in order to prosecute the case, given the conceal and carry, and given that he was licensed.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, and I agree with you. I agree with you based on the fact that that Florida, that there is a right to, that he has a right to bear arms in Florida. But the problem with that is that giving someone the right to carry a weapon and carry a concealed weapon still does not justify the action. When in the states that have these rules about gun laws, is my understanding that you're not supposed to carry a loaded weapon. For example, if I had a gun in my car, then that gun is not supposed to be loaded and within reach where I could do damage with it against somebody.
But I believe Florida may be a different kind of state where you are actually eligible or allowed to carry a loaded weapon. Kind of like Arizona, you're allowed to carry a loaded firearm, and it's a conceal and carry state, if I'm correct, but you're allowed to carry a loaded firearm. Other states, you know, you can't have a loaded firearm. You have to actually take the magazine out. I mean, there's different laws, but I think Florida standard would have allowed Zimmerman to carry his weapon without the presumption that if he uses his weapon, it was premeditated in its use. And I think that's the difficulty in trying to assign a murder one case here, is that you're presuming just because I carry a weapon or Zimmerman carried a weapon, that he was premeditated in the use of that weapon. And I wouldn't say that that's necessarily true.
I would think that the presumption would be that because he carried the weapon as he pursued someone. See, the difference in what Zimmerman did, in my opinion, to Trayvon, you know, he's using this self-defense justification for why he committed this crime against this young man. But there was no self-defense, because if I am afraid for my life, then I do not follow the person that I'm afraid of. If I am concerned that they may hurt me, then I don't attack them in the dark. And that's what Zimmerman did. He followed this young man with a gun in hand under the premise
that he was afraid that he was going to be harmed and that he was being injured. If that was the truth, then why did he get out of his car? Why did he follow him? Why did he attack him in the dark? And why did he not run?
Well, I think, Dana, I don't know if those are square with the actual facts. I don't know. So I'm just saying, I don't know if he had his gun in hand, meaning it was unholstered. I don't know that. I don't, you know, in his capacity, quote, as a community watch, if he was trying to keep tabs on where Trayvon was, I don't know if that can, by virtue of their standard, be construed as stalking. I don't know if he's actually being charged with a stalking charge. I don't believe so. So I think also what could have happened, and I don't know, but because I think this is going to bear itself out, but I believe maybe Trayvon was like, hey, I'm being followed, and Trayvon stepped to the cat saying, back off, and started whooping this boy's butt. And I think if that story, if that narrative comes out, that Trayvon, in his self-defense, was giving Zimmerman the blues or the business, I think somebody's going to say, well, Zimmerman then acted in self-defense, even though his behavior was precipitatory. And I think that's a challenge for a prosecution in terms of earning a second-degree murder conviction.
You know, had he not called the police, and had the police not told him to stay where he was and do not pursue this young man, then maybe he could use the excuse that he was the neighborhood watch and he was watching the neighborhood, and because he saw this shady character, then he wanted to make sure that he was not up to no good. But all of that goes out the window when the police tell you we're on our way, and they represent the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they tell you that they're on their way, do not follow him, do not pursue him, then anything that he does after that is wrong. Because
I would agree.
He had been given direction by the people who could actually arrest him. He had been given direction by the legal representative of that state, and they told him, don't pursue him. So then there is no excuse for the neighborhood watch, because guess what? As the watch, you are now doing something that the law representative has told you not to do. So you are,
that's correct,
you are violating the order of the police. So he can't use that as an excuse. And yes, Trayvon should have given him the business because he was following him. If somebody is following me and they attack me, I'm going to do everything I can to save my life.
Yeah, I mean,
Remember, your feedback is enough. I'm sorry. Yeah, Saran, jump in. I'm sorry to my feedback. Saran, feel free to jump in anytime your mic is live. I'm not trying to hog the mic because my sister said I do have a habit of blog talking. And we drop your call, fly catch. Call back the number 347-838-9825. You know, I be having a lot of people out there on the internet, and they jumped me last time I had Trayvon Martin on the case on there. And I thought they might call back in. Again, I'm trying to deal with the facts. And in the last half an hour, Saran, Dana, Toby, you two flycatcher, any of you guys out there, my Wigger friends out there from Kentucky, if y'all still out there, I would like you all to know, I mean, I'd like y'all to comment on this question. If I'm talking to you, Saran, being a law enforcement, if George Zimmerman, let's say he's found not guilty on 1-2 manslaughter on any of the charges, do you think that America is ready for that outcome, Saran?
Yes, I think that they are ready for such an outcome. I mean, there's been such an outpouring of support for him, for George Zimmerman to be prosecuted based on these facts.
not only from the African-American community, but from nationwide. I think the petition got over 2 million signatures so that they could open up this case for prosecution. So I think America as a whole is ready for a conviction in this particular case.
Okay, I'm sorry. My mic got dropped. My mic got dropped at the time. All right, Dana, Toby.
Okay, we're heading to this part.
I was saying is, do you feel that America is ready for the outcome of this decision if it is and not in favor of the Martin family?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think that there have been so many wrongs just committed against African Americans in this country that this just is another one that's lined, that just gets in line with all the other ones. You know what I mean? So in my opinion, if he's found not guilty, then you know what? Just like the people in Texas that dragged that man behind the car, just like all these other people that commit all these ill acts towards African Americans and are not held accountable for it, then it's just another example of one that got away. I don't know, honestly. I don't know if America's ready or not. I just pray that as a country and as a society, we can somehow learn to get past the color of each other's skin and begin to deal with the content of everyone's character. That's what we're missing here. And we just continue to see example after example of things like this that occur. So I'm just going to keep praying for us. You know how I roll.
I know, Dan, the apple pie and the God bless America. So we elaborated on it a little bit, Toby, but, you know, the last 25 minutes I got for the show, what do you think the outcome might be, Toby? And, you know, we all agree tonight, all the speakers agree tonight that America might not be ready for the outcome. But in case they are, what do you think might happen, Toby?
Well, I actually believe that he's going to get an acquittal I don't know if the instructions will allow for a lower or a conviction on a lesser charge. I don't know. Saran would know that better than I, but I think he's going to get an acquittal. I also know that there are sentiments in our community, I would say, in the black community, that if he's acquitted, it'll set off another storm like we saw with Rodney King. I actually believe that. I think that's unfortunate.
I don't, Toby. I'm sorry, Toby. I don't. If niggas ain't riding the street because the vote is 1965 Civil Rights Act got kicked down, what the hell are we going to ride in the street for this damn Zimmerman shit? No. We got turned back around for Gina 6. I mean, we're bound in Timbuktu. There's war in Timbuktu. And I can't see it. All I see is if anything happens, and I'm sorry for being loud, everybody, I feel that if anything happens, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson Sr. will come back down there just to distract everybody like they did the last time, and instead of marching down to the state capitol where the law was created, they marched down to the police officer. I mean, I don't see nothing happen, Toby, because we're not organized as a people. There is no leadership. There is no communication with no one else. I mean, if Negroes are going to go downtown, Molotov cocktails, and smash windows, that is so 1999. They got drones, everybody. Yeah. They have drones. I'm sorry, Toby. Go ahead.
I don't think it's going to be like that, Jimmy. I don't think we're going to riot. And I guess, you know, people riot in their own neighborhoods. I don't think we're going to riot as an organized reaction. You know, I don't believe that. But I do believe that there will be reactions to it. And I submit that this Trayvon Martin case has captured the attention of a younger generation, some of which haven't voted yet. You know, in 1999, we didn't have the explosion of social media that we have now. The connectivity wasn't there. the level of reaction, even to this one, I think has captivated some people. And with wall-to-wall coverage, I think a lot of people are watching it differently even, or perhaps more intensely than they were even O.J. And I believe if there's an acquittal, there'll be a same kind of cleavage. But the difference between Rodney King and this one is that we actually had videotape of these guys whooping them. And to see that they got acquitted was blew people's minds because they could actually see it. So they felt like they could touch it and had an understanding here. There's no videotape of this young cat getting popped. So I don't submit it's going to be the same kind, as explosive, but I do believe that there'll be a significant reaction to it.
Well, I definitely agree with you, because one thing that I can say that as a country I feel like we are in a sense evolving in some way, because people are becoming more vocal about things that occur. And so I feel that if he is acquitted and if he's found not guilty, that maybe you may not see any cry for justice with Trayvon. But I definitely believe that as when other things occur in the future, then you'll see people respond more quickly and respond more, and loud and become louder in their reaction. Today I was driving down the street and I saw this family, Caucasian family. They were driving down the street and they had this flag, a British flag, waving from their car at window, and they said, "Take the South back," or something like that. And honestly, when you see things like this Trayvon Martin case with George Zimmerman, it just shows that we are moving backwards as a society. So I feel that hopefully that this will definitely open up communication lines to get some of the stuff taken care of and corrected. If nothing else.
Mm-hmm. You back, Saran. Your mic is on, Saran.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that if there was an acquittal, that there would be some type of protest. I mean, even in Florida, when Casey Martin was acquitted, they had protests. I don't know that there will actually be riots or anything. But I agree with you. Jesse Jackson will definitely be on the first flight there, along with perhaps Al Sharpton leading the marches, just as they were in the beginning to get the trial, get the charges in place. But there needs to be some type of dialogue. Definitely, I do agree with the other two callers.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, Dana.
I'm afraid that if they acquit Zimmerman, then other people are going to do the same thing that he did. They're going to take the law into their hands, and people will be injured and maybe killed, maybe even killed. And then they'll use this justification that they were allowed to have a weapon. They could carry a gun, a concealed weapon, and it was okay because by their state laws and rules, that was okay. And then in self-defense, I killed myself. And see, let's not forget that there was a young lady who was dating someone that was known to commit violent acts against his girlfriend. And she, in that same state, stood her ground and killed him, and she went to jail. So what is the difference? The difference is that in that case, that young lady was African-American. And she killed someone that was a known batterer. So how can they try to justify Mr. Zimmerman's action when Trayvon was a kid and he was carrying a drink and some candy? There is no justification.
Yeah, I think that the prosecution did make a good, did have a good day today, later on in the trial today, when personnel, I don't know if it was a nurse or it definitely was a medical examiner. However, they were asked on the stand today whether or not George Zimmerman's injuries were consistent with his story
of having his head repeatedly hitting the concrete. And she had testified very credibly that no, that the injuries that he sustained were not in conformity with his story. Also, the prosecution also brought out that George, the injuries that George Zimmerman sustained could have been sustained with one punch from Trayvon Martin. So overall, I think there were great strides made today in the prosecution's case. Now, whether that's going to hopefully compel jurors, I hope so. But I know, given what was turned over to the defense in discovery, I know it's coming. I know that they've obtained Trayvon Martin's, you know, Twitter feed and social media and pictures. So you have slowly seen the leaking of Trayvon Martin as an older 17-year-old pictures of him and allegations of fighting in school and little marijuana use. So soon, and I suspect very soon, the defense will go ahead and typically try to defame Trayvon Martin's character or malign his character as part of the George Zimmerman's defense. That is surely the cause.
But you know what, and the fact that they are allowing the fact that they're allowing his character to be depicted as one that is a drug addict, that's a thug, and you know, and he has all these skilled martial arts moves and things like that, to me, the fact that all of these things are even coming into play in this trial where this young man is dead and he can't say, no, I didn't smoke the marijuana. He does not get the opportunity to defend himself because he's dead. So the fact that they are allowed to even destroy his character on trial after he was killed by George Zimmerman, again, that to me is not right. It's as simple as that. It's a miscarriage of justice, in my opinion. Because how do you...
Okay, hold on, Dan.
Jimmy, they allowed him to take all the evidence. He brought back a gun.
You got a lot of
them. He brought back a gun. The physician's assistant, after they brought up the fact about this about these martial arts moves, she stated that he told her that he practiced martial arts. So no one knows, because he was allowed to read with all the evidence. He was allowed to go and clean his weapon, wash his clothes, get rid of anything that could have proven that he committed a crime. And now he's sitting here at a trial, and the only evidence they can bring in is these people's statements. Well, where's the gun? And if he brings the gun, then where's the blood that was on the gun? It's not there because he cleaned it. So he interfered in an investigation, in my opinion. But of course, I'm not legal, so I'm not... And I'm not a juror, so I just pray that justice comes to the family.
Yeah, okay, Dan, let me take one quick break, 45 minutes at the hour. All right, Flycatch, you just want to chat in, not a problem. Y'all can join us in the chat room also. Ebony, why don't you go to that clip you had set up about what the Martin family had expected before the trial started.
Welcome to extended coverage of the State versus George Zimmerman. I'm Jason Guy alongside Meredith McDonough. Right now, Trayvon Martin's parents are about to speak. Let's listen in.
We're here to make a brief statement as we formally begin trial today. A murder trial is a very emotional matter, but Trayvon's parents understand that the jury will have to hear all of the evidence to base their verdict on that evidence. We think that this is a simple case. There are two important facts in this case. Number one, George Zimmerman was a grown man with a gun. And number two, Trayvon Martin was a minor who had no blood on his hands. Literally, no blood on his hands. There was none of George Zimmerman's DNA found on Trayvon Martin's hands or underneath his fingernails. We believe that the evidence is overwhelming to hold George Zimmerman accountable for killing Trayvon Martin. As these former proceedings began, that Tracy and Sabrina, over the last year and a half, have fought so hard to get to. We understand that now it is time for the jury to do their duty and base the verdict and their decision on the evidence, the instructions of the court, and the law. At this time, Ms. Sabrina Fulton will address you, and then Mr. Tracy Martin.
I'm here today as Trayvon Martin's mother. As I have been every day, I will be attending this court and to try to get justice for my son. I ask that you pray for me and my family because I don't want any other mother to have to experience what I'm going through now. Thank you.
Good morning. As the court proceedings continue today, we as a family look and cherish and hold on to the memories that Trayvon left us with. As we enter the courtroom today and seeking justice for our son, we hold on to his smile, which strengthens us, and we ask that you all continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, what y'all think about that?
I had no idea that they didn't find some blood on his hand.
Go ahead. Hey, Dan, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said I had no idea that they could find the blood on his hand.
Yes, they said he didn't have no blood on his hands. So what people are trying to say is that if he was to be whooping on, quote-unquote, George Zimmerman, then that he should have had blood on his hands or underneath his nails. So if they didn't have that on his nails and hands, then, you know, what was the case? Go ahead, Toby. We have my man Kelly Robinson in the building also. Go ahead, Toby, Dana. And the mic is loud. We got about, 10 more minutes to go. So go ahead, y'all. Let's free comment it. Get everybody in there.
This is Toby. I got a little snowed, to be honest, because when I was hearing the mother, every time I hear Trayvon's mother speak, my feelings get all in it, because here's a sister who lost her son, and she knows her son was murdered. And she knows who murdered him, and the fact that the law may protect him must drive her crazy. And then the other details indicating where, the blood evidence and all that kind of stuff just must drive her nuts. So I just get caught up in my feelings a little bit, and I lose a sense of perspective. And that's why I was going to refrain from commenting, because it was going to be more emotional as opposed to factual based.
Go ahead, Dana.
Well, the fact that they didn't find him, sure, this man presented with, supposedly he had a bloody nose and he had a busted head. I'm by no means an investigator, okay? I'm by no means forensic examiner or a CSI or any of those things. But just theoretically, it would seem that if a person was holding your head and bashing it up against the ground, when you bled, that blood would be transferred to their hand. If they were punching you in the face upon impact, when you bled, then that blood would be on your hand and you would have bruising or you would have some kind of DNA. I had no idea that there was no DNA found on Trayvon, yet they're trying to present this case that this young man was physically assaulting this other person and battering them.
So well, I don't know that the prosecution will end up arguing on that point. They're going to argue, I mean, not the prosecution, I'm sorry, the defense is going to argue that it rained that night. And they're going to argue that any blood that may have been on Trayvon Martin would have been washed away in the rain. That is what is likely that the defense would be arguing.
But it wouldn't have washed from under his fingernails.
It wouldn't have. That's saying that if he scratched him. Because you can punch somebody without and dry blood without any DNA getting underneath your fingernail. Your DNA will get under your fingernail if you are scratching them, not just by punching them.
So the rain, what you're saying is the rain would even wash away the most microscopic evidence of any semblance of blood on this guy.
So I'm just telling you what the defense is likely going to argue.
Yeah, I mean, and they can try to argue that point, but just knowing a little bit about blood spatter from watching TV, there would have been some microscopic evidence of Mr. Zimmerman's DNA on Trayvon, especially if he was assaulting him and battering him the way that they're trying to describe that he was.
Yeah, but that's the situation we're trying to get to. It's just the facts. And when the facts show us, you know, I feel that everybody right now is just getting all emotional. And I really feel that he's going to be found guilty. I think it's going to shock everybody. I think right now it's like Heat and Seven. People don't see that everybody's point shaving because there's a lot riding on the outcome of this trial. And I don't feel that a not guilty verdict, maybe I'm in the minority, I don't know, but I don't feel that a not guilty verdict will be rendered. But we got another call in. I want to read this last call in the last 5 minutes. What do you got to say? What's going on? Who's this happening? We got here. What's going on, Desert Storm, Cleveland? What's going on, Cleveland?
What's happening? I just tuned in, man. What's happening? What's going on?
We're on the straight round, Mark. We have the last 5 minutes. We're on the straight round, Mark. Hey, so, Saran, in the last 5 minutes I got, why don't you go on ahead and give me your little surmise, and maybe you too, Toby and Dana. We can go from there, and I'll let you chime in, Desert Storm, if you want to. So, Toby, you feel that it's going to be an acquittal and black folks going to riot?
Yes, I believe it's going to be acquittal. I believe black folks will show a degree of disdain, and then we will go back into our communities killing our own basket load of Trayvon Martins without the kind of light that is shining on this one case. We're going to continue killing each other at such a rate that's even more sickening than what happened here with Trayvon.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with that. Saran?
You know, I'm going to take a leap of faith, and I'm going to say that there will be a conviction to lesser included sense of involuntary manslaughter. And I'm going to say that the prosecution is going to have to explain very plainly George Zimmerman's testimony and the reason for statement that he made. He has to come out and say that George Zimmerman comes from a privileged child. His father is a judge, well-versed in the law. He wanted to be a officer and had tried to train as an officer, but he knew the lingo. He knew that by getting that to the officer's response, it was likely that he knew to say that, I'm glad that the cameras got it. Because most attorneys know, and most judges know, that when police interrogate a subject or interrogate someone, that they are allowed to lie, and they will lie to try to catch you off balance. So he has to be able to explain that to the jury, convey that to the jury, that George Zimmerman is not a fool at all, and that his whole purpose, design, and his story was well conceived and well planned out. And if he effectively does that, then there will be a
All right, Dana. 90 seconds, Dana.
I'm here. I'm right here.
90 seconds, Dana. Keep yourself short.
I don't know. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will happen if he's acquitted. I do feel that if he's found not guilty, it's a missed mockery of the judicial system. And I can only pray for this family, and I will keep this country in my prayers, because I'm hoping that one day we'll have a better world to live in.
Sean?
Hey, I didn't catch it today, but did the prosecution talk today? I mean, I still haven't watched the whole thing, so
what do you think will happen? Sean, what do you think will happen if he's acquitted?
Well, hopefully black people, start shooting them, shooting back. I don't know what's going to happen. I think they'll be a lot more fearful of us. They know we will be ready to explode. So I don't know. I really don't know what happened. We'll see. You there?
Uh-huh.
No, I said I don't know what will happen.
I guess it's Jimmy from the Jimmy Underground Radio Network. I got my man Cleveland, Sean Cleveland, Dan from D.C., Draft Chicago, and my man Toby Man from Indianapolis. We going on the Trayvon Martin scandal. We're going to see what jumps off. I feel he's going to be found guilty. The people say innocent. We'll see how everything rolls out. I guess good night, everybody. And may your God be with you.
Alright, see you later, Daniel. This is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you've got to let me and my people go. Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna